From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Since our last podcast, the United States Supreme Court, in a unanimous 9-0 decision, ruled that the United States Postal Service, among other employers, both governmental and private, must accommodate the religious practices of their employees unless such accommodation would pose a significant cost to the employer. Prior to this major ruling, courts have ruled that an employer only needs to make a religious accommodation if the accommodation had a minor impact on the employer. As you may recall, Gerald Grof was a rural letter carrier who, due to his stringent religious convictions, refused to work on Sundays, his Sabbath. The case now returns to the lower court to determine whether the Postal Service's refusal to accommodate Mr. Grof was based on the fact that if the accommodation was granted, it would have significantly impacted postal operations or costs. Also, since we last spoke, the Postal Regulatory Commission denied the Postal Service's request that it withdraw the formal public inquiry into the Delivering for America plan. The Postal Service should be responding to a series of questions posed by PRC Chairman Mike Kubianda by close of business on July 19th. Now let me introduce this week's guest on Naps Chat. He is no stranger to the National Association of Postal Supervisors or to any other postal employee. He is chairman of the House Subcommittee on Government Operations and Federal Workforce, Representative Pete Sessions of Texas. His subcommittee has jurisdiction over issues that impact the Postal Service and the federal workforce. The chairman joined me a little over 2 years ago on Naps Chat, and now he returns with the chairman's gavel in his hand. Welcome to Naps Chat, Congressman.
Bob, thank you very much. It's an opportunity for me to be back and to continually renew our friendship. As you will recall, and I'm sure many of your the people listening to this know, that I was on the last subcommittee on postal operations back in 1997 and 98, and have chosen to be a part of the success and the issues that the postal employees and the post office puts up with over these years. And your constant, not only feedback to me, but also sticking with the issues over these years has enabled me to be, a better positioned leader understanding the postal issues. I applaud not only the Postal Service, but the supervisors who are part of this success for the American people.
Thank you, Chairman Sessions. As you might recall, the last time we spoke about your moving from the House Oversight and Reform Committee to become chairman of the powerful House Rules Committee. We're not going to cover that ground again, but I did want to ask you, since our last podcast 2 years ago, considerable legislative and political water has passed under the proverbial bridge. Can you share with us what difference it makes to hold the gavel of the subcommittee that you currently held the gavel for?
I can, Bob, and each one of your supervisors, because of their lineage, not only at the Postal Service, but because they care very much about their employees, as well as combined with their commitment to service for the customer, they would recognize that this country has been through different times, not just with COVID, but also that the things that have happened as a result of COVID, including inflation, including the difficult part of getting people to come to work and staying at work, including family members who may be impacted. I'm no different. My family was impacted by this. I've seen employees in my office who have needs also. And so the continuing dialogue between not only the needs of the Postal Service, but the needs that you have as a supervisor and the operations and responding to your employees has a lot to do with it. So me taking over this gavel means that I had an opportunity last year when in government reform, our now current chairman, James Comer, and the former chairwoman of the committee, we passed major legislation that the Postal Service sought, that the postal supervisors endorsed, and the workers did too. Postal employees looked for Congress to be able to stay nimble and to pass legislation that would resemble the times. Much of it was about paying for health care and doing the things that would be necessary for the financial stability of the post office. We had Postmaster DeJoy in our office. We have held hearings where we dealt with the postmaster. And I will tell you that as you deal with issues across the country, it is important that the Postmaster General and the postal supervisors know what they can count on as they move the business forward. And much of this has come in interaction with not only me as the chairman of the committee, but also the reasonableness of how we're trying to move the business. There are still daunting challenges ahead of us. Pay, as it relates to employees, the cost of the stamp, the work mission is still out there. And so it will require, Bob, you and I to see each other and constantly make sure that we are listening, perhaps above all, to the supervisors who take into account feedback to their employees. I'm delighted to be the chairman of this important subcommittee.
I must interject at this moment about over our relationship over the many years, I found you and your staffs extremely receptive. We may not always agree, but extremely receptive and listen to the comments of postal supervisors and postal employees in the quest for finding a common ground for improving and enhancing the Postal Service.
Well, it's my hope that, and you know, that my commitment not only to that dialogue, but also the commitment to the work that must be done and the work that is being done by people. They are the energy part of our business. And as you know, I spent 16 years in working for my own free enterprise system. I worked for AT&T, had 700 employees in that I had to work with and deal with. Our management team had to. We had to move the business also. But you can't move too far without your employees. And that is the part that I recognize about your job and the job of the post office that must involve dialogue, consent, and agreement.
Mr. Chairman, it's been about 2 months since the hearing which you presided over, where the only witness was the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy. Can I ask you, what was the purpose of the hearing, and was the goal of the hearing accomplished?
Bob, these are all important matters. As you would know, each of us as members of Congress receive feedback from postal customers. Well, there's a coexistence. They're also our constituent. And so as the post office, what I would say big post office management from Washington, as they try and take these policies and make them work, there are some things that I think were not as well communicated to congressional staff, congressional district offices, as we would want to suggest. So there are some areas of the country that are undergoing heavy change of populations. There, one of the areas is the state of Texas, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, what might be Florida and Georgia. There are parts of these areas that are considered maybe rural, suburban. And the growth as it has impacted these has come into conflict with what might have been existing or new rules that the post office is trying to provide guidance for, which might be postal operations that are satellited out, that might be postal operations that have come under attack because of criminals and thieves that are not just new to this postal operation, but in particular in certain areas. How the post office deals with that and postal employees being targeted as they carry keys and ways to get into these large boxes. So it has become a different kind of scenario, especially around holidays and times when large packages might arrive, packages that have the relationship with perhaps other carriers like FedEx or UPS that may be carrying. It's a more complex circumstance. And so this checkerboard of needs, I don't think was always communicated well for members of Congress and their staffs back home and touching base, pulsing with local postal authorities. This caused a good bit of interaction and I think distrust between members of Congress and the Postal Service. And unfortunately, we found ourselves trying to resolve these matters directly at headquarters.
I'm just going to make an aside. Years ago, before you were a member of Congress, and we're talking about probably in the 1980s, the Postal Service had one of its senior folks actually have a desk in the old House Post Office and Civil Service Committee to ensure that there was constant communications between the Postal Service at that time and interested members of Congress who may have had issues, because I know Congressman Jake LaTurner raised issues at the subcommittee hearing, as did the members of your subcommittee from South Carolina, which I might add is well represented on the Oversight and Accountability Panel. There were issues that were brought up, as well as the ranking member Mufume, Kwasi Mufume, had issues and so forth. And I think that your subcommittee hearing gave an extraordinary, I think, productive and constructive way of opening up this dialogue, and hopefully that dialogue will continue.
Well, in fact, as you bring up, and we read in, Bob, as you know, several members that were not even on the committee that were seeking information, but also relief, accommodation, dialogue, resolution. And we've had several members who have now found themselves that the Postal Service, someone who, not just local, but someone who from Washington came to see the impact of some of their decision making. Mm-hmm. Is this flexibility? I'm not sure. Is it reality? Yes, it is. And sometimes this reality of rules as they play out across the country has come in direct conflict with flexibility of doing the right thing. Roads and bridges and traffic and people and fires and these things have put the Postal Service at odds many times with city elected officials, county elected officials, but most of all customers. And that's what the bargaining chip was about. Can we work to resolve these issues? I think the Postmaster General and the management back home is working hard to do that.
Let me touch upon an issue you just brought up, and that was the escalation of postal-related crime. Attacks against folks delivering the mail, attacks against the collection boxes that you probably experienced in Travis County back in Texas and throughout the country. One of your colleagues, Andrew Garbarino from New York, introduced legislation to restore or to at least clarify that the postal police have the authority to protect postal employees and assets that are outside of postal facilities proper. Is that an issue or legislation, something that you would consider giving airing to this Congress?
Well, in fact, we do need to be aware of this because there are employees who and the Postal Service that knows more about the timing of when packages will be delivered, when packages will be arriving. Local police, county, sheriffs, they are not always available at those times. And so I believe there is certainly reason to believe that if we hear from postal inspectors, if we hear from them about their desire and availability, yes, I think that the Postal Service, just like a school system, would be in some way doing this. But we have to know what the limits are of these, and it's got to be within some understanding of what they're trying to provide. It does not mean that families need to be protected of postal workers.
At the hearing, in your opening statement, you indicated that the jury was out on the Delivery for America plan and that your subcommittee and the committee would be interested in postal operations as it goes forward on the plan. You remarked that the Postmaster General is responsible for implementing the plan and will be held accountable for those results. Could you expand on that comment?
Yes, I can. I think we know enough about today's marketplace to know that many of our federal employees, notwithstanding postal service, could be air traffic controllers, could be law enforcement, are stretched. They're stretched and not being filled in by an available workforce that is able to help them. It is not uncommon for people in Waco, Texas, my home, for them to be literally on permanent overtime, unable to schedule activities that deal with their family lives and the lives of their family and them. And that this flexibility that we want employees and employers to have is not always filled back in by the availability of flexibility in that service. And so the postmaster and I, and he's by and large put the ball in my court. Okay, if you want to present something that's an option, an alternative, fine, we'll be glad to talk about it. At no point would I do something that would be to hinder the service, that would hinder the availability of the mailbox. But we may need to look at and say that sometimes the operations need to be more flexible.
Let me follow up that, because this is a perfect opportunity to ask this particular question, and that is, what role, if any, does Congress have in postal operations? And just a little background on that, if I can. This week, the House Administration Committee actually reported legislation dealing with elections, and the bill includes text that states, and I quote, "The Constitution of the United States and other enumerated powers grant Congress power to regulate the operations of the Postal Service." This view seems to be a departure from at least the immediate past practice of Congress with regard to the Postal Service. Would you have any insight on that issue?
Of course I do. We know that the post office is constitutionally mandated. We know that the post office in its, not creation, but in its ongoing operations, has always worked with Congress one way or another, either funding the appointment of the postmaster by Article 2, which would be an executive appointment. The board that serves comes under Article 1. With consent of Article 2. So I think that the operations, the payment, the necessary responsibilities have been joint. And I would expect that the Postal Service should know that a relationship with Congress is important. And likewise, it's important for us to have content with the postal supervisors, and the content of people who perform their duties.
I know that there are votes, there's an ongoing vote, so this will be my final question, Mr. Chairman. One of the vexing issues confronting the Postal Service and its leadership is the persistent decline in mail volume. Are there any actions that you would be looking the Postal Service to take, either to stop the hemorrhaging or to replace the volume and associated revenue, to ensure the sustainability of the Postal Service?
Bob, it is the big elephant in the room, and it is much of it not just uncertain, but based upon locality by locality by locality. I think the Postal Service has done a good job to position itself as a carrier that does have that responsibility that comes with its use of the mailbox. Now, they've said someone else, they're going to have that, and someone else has to respect that. But that does not mean that the post office has to deny other people or would not take on other mail. I think it becomes an asset for the post office. So the bottom line is, we need to monitor this. This is why you've seen the Postmaster General have a plan Postmaster DeJoy has a plan long term about the effectiveness of not only mail, but its routing therein. So I think that it's going to require constant day-to-day understanding, and that's where your relationship with me to speak, not just in my ear, but rather the important parts of moving us through to make sure that we are ready a year from now and 2 years from now with the drop in mail, with the service that's expected, and the flexibilities to run the business. And that's where we try and dovetail those.
Yeah, one of the things that the Postmaster General did indicate as part of the testimony was that Congress authorized the Postal Service in the recent legislation, in H.R. 3076, and actually clarified that the Postal Service could partner with other governmental entities to provide services, particularly in outlying communities. He seemed to be somewhat reticent about taking that initiative at this point.
Well, he should be, because I think that the responsibilities of those require extensive training, ongoing development, and perhaps not in the best interest necessarily of the Postal Service. But these are all the issues why the great Bob Levy has direct access to us. I want to thank you for taking time and thank the employees of the Postal Service, and in particular, the supervisors who provide the day-to-day pulse with employees as well as needs of so many customers.
And I want to thank Congressman Pete Sessions, Chairman of the House Subcommittee on Government Operations of the Federal Workforce, for joining me this week on Naps Chat. Thank you, Congressman Sessions.
You bet, Bob.
And I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay cool.
I'm going to stand right down and write myself a letter.